Okay, today's daf is Bav Metzia, daf Yud Dalet. We are already well into daf Yud Dalet Amar Aleph. We got all the way down yesterday to Amar Shmuel Maitamar Darabanan, about 10 lines into the page on daf Yud Dalet Amar Aleph. Today we're going to talk a lot about Achrayus Tohu Sofer. We're going to talk about a Shiba Nechasim and whether the Shiba Nechasim is assumed. So we're going to discuss whether Achrayus Tohu Sofer is a rule that applies by a Mecher, by a Halva'a, by both. When do we assume that there's an assumption of achrayus, even if it's not actually written into the shtar? The Gemara is then going to discuss whether a mocher can take issue with a balchov who wants to collect from the lechuchos, meaning I sold my land to a friend, and now someone, one of my balichov, want to confiscate that land from my friend. Can I go and say, no, you're not allowed to confiscate that land, and come with my tainas why he's not allowed to do it? Or can he say to me, I'm not confiscating land from you, I'm confiscating it from the lokeach. It's not your business, so let me just take it from the lokeach. Let me deal with it directly with him. So then the Gemara is going to discuss whether a lokeach is allowed to back out of a deal because there's some irur, meaning at what point can you say, you know, I thought I was buying some clean land over here, but is he ever allowed to back out and say that I'm no longer interested in buying something because I hear too many rumors about this land being stolen or about being there being chavos, etc.? Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss if a nigzal confiscates lands from a lokech, someone whose land was stolen from him, goes and takes the land back, but not from the gazan, because the gazan has already sold it. So he goes and he takes it from the lokeach. So does the mocher only reimburse the lokeach for the purchase price of the land, or does the mocher also have to reimburse the lokeach for any money he may have put into the land, any shevach that he meant that the land may have had while the lokeach had it? And then at the end of the daf, we're going to have a brisa which is going to discuss a nigzal collecting from a gazlan. But the strange thing is, normally you expect that if a gazlan stole land from a nigzal, when the nigzal collects, he'll just take his land back. But the brisa is going to talk about a nigzal going to collect from a gazlan and not taking his land back, taking other properties. So we're going to have two explanations of that brisa. Why in the world the nigzal would be taking other properties from a gazlan and not just taking his land back? So let's pick up. We are at Amar Shmuel Maitamar Drabanan. I believe that's where we left off. We're well into Daf Yudalid Amar Aleph. The Rabbanan that we're referring to, when Shmuel says Maitamar Drabanan, are the Chachamim in our Mishnah. The Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis Amar Beis had said that the Chachamim say Bein Kach Bein Kach Lo Yaksim Mipresha Beis in the Freud Mehen, that if you find a shtar, whether the shtar has a chray nechasim in it, whether the shtar does not have a chrayus nechasim in it, doesn't make a difference. Do not return it, because Beis Din will use that shtar to pay the guy back with. Beis Din will honor that shtar. So apparently we were only concerned if it's going to cost the lekuchos. And yet, even when there's no achrayus nechasim, the Mishnah says that according to the Chachamim, don't return it. Unlike Rabbi Meir, who say, well, it depends. If there's achrayus nechasim, then it's going to cost the lekuchos. If there's no achrayus nechasim, it's not going to cost the lekuchos. Says Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Maitamai Rabbanan. Why did the Rabbanan think that even if there's no achrayus nechasim, on some level it's going to cost the lekuchos, that people who may have bought that land are now going to lose out unfairly? Because Savri achrayus tohu sofer, who the sheet of the Rabbanan is that if they fail to write achrayus in the shtar, that's an assume that it's assumed anyway. We assume that the sofer is the one that made a mistake, as Rashi points out. Achrayus tohu sofer k'sheinu kosu b'shtar. Sofer hu sheta'a. It's a mistake of the scribe who wrote up the shtar. Aval zelo lavelo ma'osav b'lo achrayus nechasim t'lo shadi inizuzi b'kadin. Nobody lends money without an assumption of achrayus nechasim, because people don't enjoy throwing away their money. So that's the shita of the Rabbanan. That's how Shmuel explains the Rabbanan. So amalei Rava bar isi l'Rav Idi bar Avinu miyam Shmuel hachi. Does Shmuel really hold that achrayus is ta'u sofer? Va'amr Shmuel, Shevach, Shefer, Vishibud, tzarech limalech, that as Rashi explains, that the sofer, when he writes up a shtar, he has to ask a person who's selling a field, how much responsibility are you taking for this field? Certainly, the field is going to get, if the field is going to be confiscated from the lokeach, good, so you'll pay back for the field. What about the shevach? What about the improvements that the lokeach makes to the field? Do you want to include that in what you're willing to reimburse for the field as well? What about Shefer? Are you willing to pay back from your Idis? Are you willing to pay back to reimburse him from your very best fields? So all of these things, the Shevach, the Shefer, and the Shibud itself, whether there is going to be a Shibud Karkaos, all of that is something that the Sofer has to ask him, are you interested in taking this responsibility upon yourself? So it sounds like Shmuel holds, Achrayus is not to Sofer-hu. Achrayus is something that sometimes people take and sometimes people don't take. So says Gemara, whoa, there's a big difference between the two cases. In our Mishnah, we're talking about you found a shtar chov. How does a shtar chov happen? Someone lends somebody else money. Over here, we're talking about a sofer asking a mocher. When you're selling something, there's no loan going on over here. There's a sale. There are two parties involved in a transaction. So that's where you're asking, do you really want to take a chayas? Lema, so the Gemara first thought, lema mandi amar ha, lo amar ha, maybe the Amora who taught that Shmuel thinks Achrayus to the Sofer is not the same Amora that thinks that you have to interview the Mocher, does he want to accept the Achrayus of the Shevach, the Shefer, etc. Says Mora Lo Kasha. When it comes to a loan, of course there's an assumed achrayus. People don't throw their money away. But when it comes to a sale, when it comes to mekach u'memkar, we do assume that people are willing to buy the land, even if there's no achrayus involved. Why? Sometimes people might be willing to buy land for a day. What does that mean? They'd be willing to buy land for a day. So lav dafka a day, but they're willing to enter into an agreement, even though it might not last forever. Rashi points out not for a day, but l'safek yom echad, that it might only last for a day. Meaning maybe it'll be taken away because shema lo yitrfu mimenu. Maybe it won't be taken away. Ve'im yitrfu, and even if it will be taken away, shema lizman meruba. Maybe it will take a long time till it gets taken away. Vochol b'toch kach peros arbe. Meaning if I buy land now and I'm have decades of use out of this land. Yeah, in 20 years from now, 30 years from now, someone might come and take it from me, but I made a good living off of this land for all that time. So it paid my yeshiva tuitions through all those years, and it helped support my family for all those years. So it was still a worthwhile purchase. So it's even if there's no achrayus on it. So it's reasonable to assume that achrayus is not always going to be in place when it comes to a mecher. And the Gemara brings a raya that this chilik is true, that there's a difference between a mecher and a halva'a when it comes to an assumption on achrayus. Like the story of Avua Bar Ihi, Zavin Elisa Me'achte, where he bought a top floor from his sister, Asa Balchov Torfamine, and his sister's Balchov came and took it away from him, confiscated it from him. So Asal Kamei de Mar Shmuel, he came to Mar Shmuel, Amarle, Kasva Lach Achrayus. So Mar Shmuel says, okay, you want her to pay you back? Well, was there Achrayus here? Does she have to pay you back? Did she ever write to you that she's accepting responsibility, that if it ever gets confiscated from you, that she will pay you back? Amarle, lo. So he said, no, there was no written Achrayus. Amalei im kain zil shalma. So he says, have a nice day. I mean, what do you want? If there was no achrayus, as Rashi points out, zil shalma means ein kan odin shemachalta lakol. Sorry, you should have hired a better lawyer to write up the document, but you were mochel and everything by not having achrayus. Amar Lei, so he said, but wait, I specifically came to Shmuel's Beis Din. You're Shmuel, you're the one that says Achrayus to Sofer, that there's always an assumption of Achrayus. How can you tell me that if the Achrayus wasn't actually physically written into the Shtar, that it's as if it's not there, that it doesn't exist? Amar Lei, so that's exactly our chilek. So he says, yeah, Hani Mili B'Shtari Alva, Achrayus is to Sofer when you're dealing with Halva, when you're dealing with an actual loan, avol b'shtari mekach u'memkar. But when you're dealing with a transaction, when you're dealing with mekach u'memkar, so then lo, we're not going to assume achrayus is tosofer davaninus to zavanar liyomei. That sometimes people are willing to get involved in a deal, in a mekach u'memkar deal, even if it's just going to be a one day deal, even if it's just going to be something that's temporary. Again, people wouldn't actually buy land if it was going to be one day. What it means is the suffix that maybe it'll be one day, and even if it's and even if it does get taken away from me, maybe it's not going to be taken away anytime soon. Now there is a Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Mem Dalar and Beis, was a machlokas for Papen Rosvid. If a guy sells a field to his friend and it turns out Shein Shalom, we're going to have a similar discussion on Beis in today's Daf. Someone sells him the Brooklyn Bridge. You sell him something that's clear; it doesn't belong to him. It doesn't belong to the Mocher. Rav Papa says that the Kona can go and collect from the Mocher the money that he paid for the field, whereas Rav Zvid says he can't go back because the mocher can say, look, I sold it shalom b'achrayus. So if it's shalom b'achrayus, so someone came and took it away from you, it's not my problem. So the Rishonim point out that that's if you look at Tosos and all the other Rishonim, in our sugya, they point out that by every mechira that you find that the sad is ena shalom, we do assume achrayus tosofer l'kulei alma. I mean, all the Rishonim in our sugya say, yeah, achrayus is not assumed when there's some other chov, he owes some other guy money from some other deal, and therefore they go and they confiscate these properties. But if this property itself is stolen, the property itself that I sold to you, it was never my property to begin with, then everyone would agree that achrayus is tolos sofer. So the Rishonim point out, but what do I do with that Gemara in Maseches Baba Basra, which makes it sound like even when it's stolen property, we don't assume achrayus tolos sofer? So they explain, because over there, we're talking about where the Mocher said explicitly that he's selling shalom b'achrayus. That's where Zvid says that he can't be chozer alav. But Rav Papa holds that even when he says I'm selling shalom b'achrayus, if it's stolen property, then forget about it. Stolen, they all bets are off. So there are actually three levels of achrayus. There's writing achrayus explicitly, where no matter what the situation is, we assume that's binding. That there's achrayus when I accept it explicitly upon myself. Then there's a case where I sell without achrayus. We never write achrayus in the shtar. So that gets into the whole discussion of achrayus to sofer, achrayus lav to sofer, and that's where the Rishonim in our sugya say that even though by a halva'a achrayus, our Gemara says, even though by a halva'a achrayus is tol sofer, by a mecher achrayus is not tol sofer, and the Rishonim add, yeah, but if it's stolen property, then by a mecher the achrayus is there anyway, even though we didn't write it. And then you have what the Gemara Baba Basra is talking about, where it's not that we failed to write achrayus in the shtar, it's not that we failed to account for achrayus, we thought of it, and we specifically wrote, I'm not being mekabel achrayus. So there you have a machlokas amorayim, that maybe even if it's stolen property, and it turned out that the land was never mine, that's why I was so careful to say that I'm specifically not being mekabel achrayus. So there are actually three levels in terms of Kabbalah of Christ. The Rashash over here in the back of our Gemara points out that Rav Zvid and Rav Papa must have been talking about where you say Beferish that is Shalom Achrayis, because La Halacha, we pass in Achrayis Tal Sofer, and we also pass in, like Rav Zvid, that the guy who bought the stolen property can't go back and ask you for his money back. So it must be that Rav Zvid is talking about where he said explicitly Shalom Achrayis, meaning just the way it plays out La Halacha, it has to be that we make that assumption that that's the between our sugya and that sugya. So says the Gemara further now, Amar Abaye. The Gemara is going to have a number of comments about the concept of Shibud Nechasim. Amar Abaye, Reuven Shemachar Sada L'Shimon. If Reuven sold the field to Shimon, Be Achrayus, and Reuven accepted Achrayus for that field that he sold to Shimon. Uba Balchov de Reuven V'Katar Fleminei, and now Balchov wants to come and confiscate the field from Shimon. So does Reuven have to just stay out of it because the Balchov isn't collecting it from Reuven? He's collecting it from Shimon. So Dinu Da'azil Reuven Reuven umishtoy dina ba'day. The Reuven is allowed to come and start with tainas to the Balchov. I don't really owe you the money. I paid you back. You owe me other money. It cancels each other. Whatever his tainas are, v'lo matziyamale, the Balchov cannot say to Reuven, lav bal dvarim didiyat. This is not your business, Reuven, because I'm confiscating it from Shimon. I'm not confiscating it from you. And the reason you can't say that is da'amale, the mafkas minei alai didi hadar. You think it's not my business? You're going to take it from Shimon. Where do you think Shimon's going to turn the second you take it away from Shimon? He's going to come right back to me to ask me for to be reimbursed for that land. So it's absolutely my business. And ikadamri afilu shalobachrayz nami. Even if Reuven had sold the field to Shimon shalobachrayz, where Shimon cannot turn around to Reuven and ask to get reimbursed once it gets confiscated from Shimon, he can't do it, still Reuven can get involved in the case. Because if Shimon has no recourse, he has no way to be reimbursed for this, then it's going to be even worse. Then of course Shimon is going to have very strong tainas on Reuven. It's going to kill Reuven's good name. Shimon is going to be very upset that he had bought this field, it got taken away from him, he's got nothing to show for it. So that's why Reuven is absolutely allowed to go and take issue with the Balchov. Now, our girsa in the Gemara is Dinu hu da'azil Reuven umishtai dina ba'adei. But it doesn't say, it's not clear whether Reuven is obligated to do so or Reuven is permitted to do so, that he's permitted to get involved. And it's just that the guy can't tell him lav bal dvarim didiyat. The girsa of the Rif is Dina ale de Reuven lishtayu edina ba'adei. That very clearly in the Rif, Dina ale de Reuven, the Reuven has a chiyuv to get involved. If he has any taina that could help out Shimon and that's going to keep the land from getting taken away from Shimon, Reuven must go ahead with that taina and help out Shimon. That's how the Rif says. And the Netziv explains in Merami Sadin, in the beginning of Maseches Baba Kama, that the Chiyuv on Reuven to be Toveya for Shimon and not to just exempt himself from the whole situation is because since it's his Balchov that's coming to collect from Shimon, and included in the Achrayus that Reuven takes for Shimon is not only that you're going to reimburse him if things get taken away, but that you're going to try to protect this deal. And that if this deal was made, you're going to do whatever you can to make sure that you're going to back it up and keep this deal in place and not allow people to take it away. That is how they explain the sheet of the Rif. The Ritva, the Ran, many others, Mukha Yosef, disagree. And they say, no, it's not Reuven's job at all. Reuven was Mekabel Achrayus. Achrayus means that if it gets taken away, then I'll deal with it. But it's not to have to worry about every taina that ever comes out against that land until Lemaisa. If it comes out Lemaisa, then it gets taken away. So then I'll have to deal with it. So it's not a chiyuv on Reuven. The majority of Rishonim suggest it's something Reuven is permitted to do, but not obligated to do. Ve'amar Abaye, another halacha relating to Shibun Chasim. Reuven Shemachar Sadel Shimon Shalom Ba'achrayus. If Reuven sells the field to Shimon without being Mekabel Achrayus, V'yatzu Aleha Asikin. And there's Asikin. What does Asikin mean? Says Rashi, Oririn. People who have tainas, people are saying things, there are rumors that Shimon just got involved in a deal to buy a field that there are a lot of tainas on and that it's going to be a losing proposition in the end. So now Shimon wants to back out of the deal. He's not interested anymore. So ad shelo hechzik ba yachal lachzebo. Prior to actually taking possession of it, prior to making a kinyan on the field, he could still be chozer. Prior to having chazak on the field, he could still be chozer. But misha hechzik ba eini yachal lachzer. But once he already is machzik in the field, then it's too late. He's not going to be able to be chozer. Da armalei chayisid kitvi savart v'kabalt. Says a bag full of nuts. You agreed to buy. Meaning, if you really wanted to avoid a bad deal, you should have done proper research. You didn't do proper research before you bought this field. So therefore, once the chazakah is done, too late. You can't back out. Me'emus I have your chazakah. When is the chazakah actually done? Mechidayish ha-mitzri. From the time he walks along the borders of the fields and he fixes up the borders, so that's already a kinyan chazakah that he has, that he can no longer back out of the field. V'ikadamri afilu b'achrayas nami. Darmalei achvi tarvcha v'ashalim lach. And some say that this is even if he sold it with achrayus to Shimon. Shimon still can't back out once he made the kinyan chazaka, because Reuven can say, yeah, achrayus means when it actually gets taken away from you, I will reimburse you. It has not actually been taken away from you. You're hearing rumors, you're hearing that people have tainas, you'll deal with that, and if anything comes to pass, then I'll be willing to deal with it. There is a discussion in the Achronim. There is a story of a person who had a shidduch meaning that they were engaged, and they told the boy that the girl is from a chashuva family, that her father is an adam nichbad, he's amongst the ashirei ha'ir, and that right now he just happens to be out of town. That's why you can't meet him right now, and so he took a shavua that he's going to marry her, and that he was gomer the shidduch, and then he finds out that the woman has a shemra, she has a terrible reputation, her father is hemir daso, he's converted to Christianity, and he's married a goya, and he's not an adam nichbad at all, so he's not interested in the shidduch anymore. So he wanted to know, can he be made for his shavua and be mevatel as his chayvus, because he doesn't want to marry this woman because of the shemra. So there's a tshuva in the Ma'arit in Yerodeus and Memtes who discusses this and brings a raya from our sugya that he's allowed to be chozer. But why? Because the Gemara says Reuven sells a field to Shimon and Yatzvala Orin, even though he did a Maisa Kinyan Gomer, so long as he has not been Dayesh Amitzri, meaning even if he did a Maisa Kinyan, if he wasn't yet Dayesh Amitzri, he didn't actually go and be misaking the borders of the field, he could be chozer, because if there's no Gemiras Das, absolute Mir's Das on the Kinyan until he actually takes possession of the field. So he suggests the same over here. He could be Chozer because the whole thing is a Mekach Tos. He could be Chozer from his Chayvus. And Marit says, even though the Shem Ra was there while she was still a Pnuya, while she was still single, that's still called the Shem Ra that he could be Chozer from this Chayvus from. Meaning we don't say that a Shem Ra is only if she's already a married woman, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dafayin Hei, tells us that if a person gets sick And the only way for him to be healed is by speaking with an isha aruma, or speaking in an inappropriate way with a woman, and that's it's pikuach nefesh mamish for him. So the Gemara says that it's still aser, even though she's a pnuya, even though she's a single girl, because of pegam mishpacha for the girl, that we don't make the girl go through that just to save this sick individual. But she's only a pnuya, so what's so terrible? So you see from there that even by a panuya, it's considered a pagam mishpacha. It's considered to be something that's a pagam. But that's the way the Ma'arit understands, that it could be chozer, even though the kinyan was made. Which, I don't know, you don't get that impression from Rashi over here, right? Rashi says, yachalach serbo b'shalonas and mos, and eino yachalach serbo, once the kinyan was made, v'afilonas mos shakarka niknes b'chazaka, v'amos alzeh malve, milve, that the mos is considered a milva, but it's because there was a kinyan that was made. So it sounds like the kinyan is everything, that Daish HaMitzri is not something beyond the kinyan, but that it actually is the kinyan. Okay, but there are probably other reasons that in that case it's a tos, so it's a mekach tos anyhow. Okay, weiter in the Gemara, itmar hamocher sadu l'chavero, a guy sells a field to his friend, v'nimtzei she'ena shalom. It turns out the field never belonged to him. He sold him something that never belonged to him. Rav Amar Yeshlo Ma'os V'Yeshlo Shevach. When the purchaser gets reimbursed, he can get paid back for the purchase price of the field and for whatever improvements he made to the field. Ushmuel Amar Ma'os Yeshlo Shevach Einlo. He gets reimbursed for the purchase price of the field, but he does not get reimbursed for whatever improvements he made to the field. Ba'omine Merafuna, why not? What would be the problem with getting reimbursed? Why wouldn't he get? I bought something from you. I invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into the house that I bought to make it more beautiful. So you're going to reimburse me for whatever, the $500,000 I bought for the house, and not for the other $200,000 I put into the house, thinking that it was rightfully mine and that I'll be allowed to keep it? Because if there was, if it never belonged to the seller, so the fact that I gave him $500,000, we view that as a loan. We view that as I gave him money and he's going to have to give back that money. If I gave him $500,000 and then he's going to have to give back $700,000, that looks like ribbis. Meaning if there was an actual deal, there was something that he actually sold me. So then you understand it doesn't look like ribbis. There was a transaction other than the money. But if this house was never his to sell, so that we ignore the house. It never existed. So I gave him $500,000. He's going to give me back $700,000. That's ribbis. So that's Shmuel Shita. That's why Shevach Einlo. So Boimine Merav Huna Pirish Lo Shevach Mahu. What if he said explicitly that I'll pay you back for the Shevach? Can he? May he pay him back for the Shevach? Time of the Shmuel is the reason for Shmuel Mishum to lo Pirish Shivcha Vacha Pirish Lo, is the reason that Shmuel holds he doesn't have to give him back the Shevach is because that was never explicitly agreed upon. But if it is explicitly agreed upon, then he will have to pay him back the Shevach. Or maybe Shmuel's concern is like we just explained, it's a ribbis concern. And if it's a ribbis concern, you could say all you want. You're still not allowed to give ribbis. Even if you make a deal to give ribbis, you're not allowed to give ribbis. So I'm late in Velav Verafia Biyade. Yeah, no, he wasn't sure, and ultimately he couldn't come to a conclusion what Shmuel would say if you were Piresh, if you said it explicitly, you made that part of the deal. Itmar, Amar of Nachum Rama Shmuel, Ma'os Yeshlo, Shevach Ein Lo. So ultimately he said, yeah, he's going to get paid back for the money, he's not going to get paid back the Shevach, even though it's explicit, even though he explicitly says, I'm giving back the Shevach. My time, keeping the Karka in low, Schar Ma'osav Omid Venotel. Since he's not getting Karka, so we view it as if he's taking Schar Ma'osav. He's just getting paid for his money, and that's not okay. Now, the Rav is going to bring a Mishnah from where we learn that the lokeach can collect the shevach when the land is taken away from him. Eisvei Rav L'Rav Nachman. So Rav asked Rav Nachman from a Mishnah Maseches Gittin. Ein motziin l'achilas peros l'shevach karkos l'mazon hi'isha v'abanos. We don't take karka away to pay for achilas peros and to pay for shevach karkos for the sake of feeding a woman and her daughters, when the husband is mechayev himself in the ksuba to pay after he dies for the support of a woman and of his wife and her daughters until she gets remarried, minuchasim shvadim. That doesn't get paid from nuchasim shvadim. Mepre tikuna olam. That's a tikuna olam concern. People are going to be are going to be very hesitant to buy anything if there are like these endless streams of tainas that are going to come that people are going to support could last forever. It's a constant thing. But what do you see? Yeah, from Nechasim Shabbatim you can't take, but Nechorin Mafkinan. But from Nechasim Nechorin they can take. V'katani Mia, and says in the Mishnah, L'shevach Karkos, to pay for Shevach Karkos. What does it mean to pay for Shevach Karkos? My love me Gazlan? Doesn't that mean from a Gazlan? That if a Gazlan stole Karka and sold the Karka, that the Lokeach is allowed to collect not just the value that he paid for the Karka, but he's allowed to collect for the Shevach as well. So says Merlo, the Balchov. Who says it's talking about a Gazlan? It's talking about a Balchov, that a Balchov is Torif Karka from a Lokeach. That Lokeach can get reimbursed for the improvements he made in the land. Iba Balchov, if it's about a Balchov, Eima Resha, then you have to look at the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says earlier that Ein Motzi in Lachilas Peros, that you don't take from Nechasim that are in the Lekuchas, Nechasim Mishubadim, for Achilas Peros, and the Gemara understands that the field was taken away from the Lokeach when it was full of Peros. Viba Balchov, but if we're talking about a Balchov, Balchov Miyaslei Peri, why would the Lokeach ever have to be reimbursed for Peros? Balchov never is allowed to take Peros from the Lokeach in the first place. Vamar Shmuel Balchov ain gove es haShevach sheShevach in avol Vamar Shmuel Balchov gove es haShevach Shevach in avol Peros lo. That Balchov can be gove Shevach, but he's not allowed to be gove Peros anyway. El pshita because of the nigzal. So it must be that the whole Mishnah is talking about a gozel and a nigzal. The Reisha because of the nigzal, Seifa Nami because of the nigzal. So if the Reisha is talking about a gozel and a nigzal, the Seifa is as well. So it says, well, how do you know? My area, Hakadisa, Vahakadisa. Maybe the Reisha of the Mishnah is talking about when you buy from a gazlan, that the nigzal collects the peros, and the Seifa is talking about when you buy from a lover, that the malva is gover the shevach. But maybe in a chidami, a nigzal cannot be gover the shevach for the exact reason that we said, because we're concerned that it looks like ribbis, so you don't have a raya. So Gemara brings a brisa that explains the Mishnah more explicitly. V'halo taniachi, but we have a brisa on that Mishnah that says very, very differently. It says, l'shevach karkos ketzad. What's an example of collecting the shevach? Hareisha gozal sada mechaver ravere yotz mitachz yado kshu gova gova zekar min chasum shvad min shavach chov min chasum lecharin. When the lokeach collects to get reimbursed, he collects the keren from the chasum shubadim, and whatever shavach he collects, he is collecting, but he can only take that from the chasum lecharin. Heichidami ile mekudektani. If it's like the pashas of the brayso that the nigzal is actually collecting from the gazlan himself. Gazlan niman gavi. Who's the gazlan going to go and get reimbursed from? It sounds like the gazlan is going to go collect from someone. El lav must be going to gazel sada mechaveru mechara la'acher v'ishbicha. What shevach is there? Meaning, if it was the collecting from the gazlan himself, that the nigzal is just going back to the gazlan saying, "Give me back my land," the gazlan has no one to turn around to and say, "But I invested in this land." Who cares? You're a gazlan. We don't care that you invested in this land. No, it must be there's a third party here. The gazlan had turned around and sold it. Whoever he sold it to invested in that land. And look, he's still collecting the shevach. Samalei, lav terutze kamitzaratzda. No, don't we have a way to be mitaritza praisa? Tritznami bibalchov. You could say that it's not talking about a nigzal at all. It's talking about a balchov who's toriv karka from a lokeach. So the Gemara is going to push a little further in that brisa to show that that brisa is taka a problem for Shmuel. And Bez Hashem, tomorrow we have two explanations of that brisa, why you can collect from the gazlan himself without just taking his karka back, why you might be taking other things from the gazlan.